radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill.
From the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, Dan Hoost from Sullivan County Government joins us with an update on what's going on in Monticello, including this weekend's Sullivan County Museum Weekend. Fans are flocking to theaters for Barbie and the Barbenheimer double feature. We'll talk to Chrissy Smith of the Calicoon Theater about the film phenomenon. Repair Cafe. Repair cafes are free community events where you bring your broken but beloved items, and volunteer repair coaches help you fix them rather than throw them out. There's one coming up tomorrow in Livingston Manor. We'll learn more. Plus, a live check-in with a weekend of chamber music. And our summer fun drive wraps up tomorrow, but we need your help today. We have a challenge this hour from Janice in Bethel. $250. Call 845-482-4141 to give. Now the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. President Biden is expected to sign an executive order today overhauling the U.S. military justice system. NPR's Kristen Wright reports the changes will affect how the military handles sexual assault cases and other serious crimes.
The White House says the overhaul represents the most significant reforms to the Uniform Code of Military Justice since the code was established in 1950. Biden's executive order removes the authority of commanders to ensure prosecutions are independent of the chain of command. Special independent military prosecutors will make key decisions instead. Sexual assault has plagued the military. The White House says the overhaul builds on the recommendations of a sobering, independent review of sexual assault in the U.S. military in 2021. Congress passed the military justice reforms last year in response to decades of survivors speaking out. Kristen Wright, NPR News, Washington.
The Senate has passed the sweeping Pentagon policy bill, the National Defense Authorization Act. It had strong bipartisan support. The Senate version does not include items dear to far-right Republicans in the House, such as eliminating certain abortion rights. Both chambers of Congress now need to write a compromise version. About 180 million people are under some kind of heat caution by the National Weather Service. Temperatures and heat indexes are in the triple digits from Southern California to New England. Much of the Midwest is under extreme heat warning, and more people are seeking treatment for heat exhaustion. Drew Hawkins of the Gulf States Newsroom is based in New Orleans.
Extreme heat events like heat waves and the recent heat dome are likely to become more frequent and intense in the future. And for us in New Orleans, more heat also means more hurricanes, and that can cause a whole host of other problems and even more strain on hospitals. So whether it's storms or just relentless heat, cities are going to have to really think about their health infrastructure.
Drew Hawkins reporting. Stocks are trading higher this morning after the release of new inflation data that's largely in line with what Wall Street expected. As NPR's David Gura reports, it's another sign the Federal Reserve's efforts to prevent a recession are working.
The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index is, in addition to being a mouthful, the Fed Reserve's preferred inflation gauge, important to Fed Chair Jerome Powell and his colleagues, especially when the Commerce Department strips out food and energy prices, which are more volatile. That's called the core PCE index, and from May to June, it increased by 0.2%. It rose by 4.1% from a year ago. It's another sign inflation is cooling, but it's still higher than the Fed's 2% target. Earlier this week, the Federal Reserve went back to raising interest rates after a break in June. Powell says he and his colleagues have not made a decision about the next meeting, which is scheduled for September. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 150 points. This is NPR. Dutch authorities say a huge cargo ship is still burning in the North Sea off the Dutch coast. It caught fire more than 2 days ago. The vessel is carrying nearly 3,000 cars. Reuters news agency says nearly 500 of these could be electric vehicles. EVs pose special danger to firefighting crews. The Dutch Coast Guard says one of the ship's crew members has been killed and others are hurt. New research on Facebook shows that changes to the site's algorithm have big consequences for what users see and how they behave. NPR's Shannon Bond reports the research is part of a rare collaboration between Facebook parent Meta and independent academics.
Researchers conducted three experiments on Facebook over 3 months at the height of the 2020 election season. They wanted to test how changing the site's algorithms, which determine what posts you see, might change people's experience on Facebook and maybe even lessen political polarization. In one study, the researchers got rid of the algorithm altogether and showed users posts in the order they were made. It made a difference. Users saw fewer partisan posts and less untrustworthy content. And even though they saw more political content, they posted less about politics and spent less time on Facebook. However, the experiment didn't find any impact on users' political attitudes or polarization. Shannon Bond, NPR News.
Tonight's the drawing for the Mega Millions lottery. The jackpot is worth $910 million. That's because there hasn't been a Mega Millions winner in the last 3 months. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News, from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. We'll talk to Dan Hoost from Sullivan County Government in a few minutes, but first we're going to check in with Mimi Bradley, our development director, about our summertime and the Giving is Easy fun drive. For an update, Mimi, how are we doing?
We're doing really well, Tim. Yesterday was an incredible day.
Oh, yes.
I came in yesterday morning and we were below 50% of goal, and we are now 64% of goal.
Amazing.
After
great.
A fabulous Honesdale night that completely crushed, what was it, 1150 challenge.
Honesdale night last night, they had a $1,150 challenge going in, and they not only met it, they blew through it.
They absolutely did. So now we have under 20,000 to go. And if we have another day like yesterday, we'll get that much closer.
Yeah.
2 days left. Keep the momentum going. Give me a call. I'm in the studios. 845-482-4141.
And we have a challenge.
Yay.
Janice from Bethel, $250 challenge.
Yeah.
We need to meet that this hour, so call us at 845-482-4141 or go online, wjffradio.org. Make a donation of any amount to help us match that challenge. The challenges are matching, right? We have to raise the amount in order to get the amount.
Mm-hmm.
So the 250, boom, becomes 500.
And you already matched one challenge this morning,
we
didn't you?
Did. Yes, we did. Thanks to Rosie DeCrestafaro at Calicoon Real Estate issued a challenge, and we met that during Morning Edition. Thanks to, let's see, Kathleen called in, Dan, and my brother.
Oh, so nice. So nice to hear from family. Your dad already donated.
And my dad already donated, too.
So that's
it's a family affair here.
My mom donated yesterday,
Your
too.
Your mom did, actually. I know, right.
Yeah.
Dan, did you want to get the family bump?
I know, true. And my brother, are you listening? Please call in.
845-482-4141. If you haven't given yet, or maybe you're a new listener, newer to the area, newer to the station, now's the time to call. Support us. 845-482-4141. Mimi will gladly take your donation, and we can meet this challenge from Janice and Bethel.
Hope to talk to you.
Thank you. And now let's turn to Dan Hoost, who joins us every Friday. Dan is the communications director for Sullivan County Government and joins us to give us an update on what's going on in the county. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. In fact, I think I know who that Janice might be in Bethel, and so I may be talking to Mimi later today. So as soon as I'm done here. So anyway, it's going very well. It's a little hot out today, though.
Yeah, so. Good that we're talking to you today, because we're going to talk about the cooling locations. There is a heat advisory in effect from noon till 8 today for Sullivan and Delaware counties and a lot of central New York. Hot temperatures and high humidity may cause heat illness. We will have some heat indices up to 99 degrees. A reminder to drink plenty of fluids, stay in an air-conditioned room, stay out of the sun, check up on relatives and neighbors, too. And again, young children and pets should never be left unattended in vehicles under any circumstances. Again, a heat advisory in effect until 8, from noon to 8 today in our area. And because of that, there's some cooling locations in the county that are available.
Yes. So we'll be announcing them. Actually, this is the first spot I'll be announcing them, because we had to get clearance right up to the last minute here to be able to say these locations. But all our libraries in Sullivan County have stepped up to the plate. Those that are open today, which are most of them, are perfectly happy to be places you come and hang out during the hottest part of the day. Some of them may close towards the end of the day, but that's when the temperatures start cooling down. We also, of course, have our government center that is open throughout till, I think, 5:30 today. And then I know it sounds trite, but we have encouraged people, and I know people have taken advantage of us, to go to, for example, Walmart or the college, or to hang out at one of our parks. There's plenty of shade and places to get in the water. If it's a medical emergency, however, if it's something where you're not feeling right, or you're worried that somebody else is in some sort of life-threatening condition, call 911, because that's not to be toyed with. That's not to be suffered through. I'm talking with these cooling locations for people who just don't have air conditioning at home or in their car, or are just feeling a little overheated and need a place to go that is open to the public. We'll be putting out this list, like I said, in a few minutes after I'm finished here, because we just finally got the clearance on all of them to list those locations.
You can find that at sullivanny.gov after Dan
sullivanny.us.
US.gov, yes. Sorry. And, you know, when we talk about lack of air conditioning, it's not that uncommon in our area for places to not have air conditioning. Many of the homes that were here were built as summer, seasonal homes, mm-hmm. and may not have air conditioning. My house doesn't have air conditioning, central air, for example. We installed an air conditioner up in one room, but, mm-hmm. You know, it's fairly common and not to be taken lightly. You know, people, especially if you're working outside or spending time outside, reschedule those strenuous activities to early morning or evening, and do take advantage of these locations that have, cooler air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it some places, like my mom's house, has a basement that stays very cool. I used to live actually down in that basement. It was my groundhog burrow, I called it. And I could see what the groundhogs had discovered. That's a nice, cool place to be.
That's why they're there.
Right. But if you don't have a place like that, come to these locations. If you are, like I said, feeling really poorly because of the heat. For example, I have family members who heat actually triggers a dangerous neurological condition for them. Call 911. Do not hesitate on that. That is what our folks are here for. We want to help.
Heat stroke is an emergency. Do not take it for granted. Anyone overcome by heat should be moved to a cool and shaded location. And if you're not feeling well, and you might think you have heat exhaustion or heat stroke in somebody that you know, call 911. Heat advisory in effect from noon to 8 today. Another thing we're going to talk about is a road closure. Route 164 closing in Jeffersonville soon. I've seen the activity on that road. That's in Kohlertown for folks that might be familiar with that spot. Also, my route to work. So have some interest in this part. When is that closing, and how long?
It'll be Monday, August 7th, probably around 7 a.m. we'll close it. And then for approximately 5 weeks, our Division of Public Works employees will be doing a long-awaited flood mitigation project in Kohlertown. For those who are familiar with Kohlertown and have lived there for a few years, you know how prone that area is to flooding. There is a stream that comes down, I don't remember the name offhand, but it feeds into the Calicoon Creek there. And Kohlertown is on a very flat area right next to the stream. The stream is not very far beneath that flat area in normal water conditions. And when we get the kind of rain that we've been getting over the past 20 years, those very intense downpours, it tends to wash into everyone's homes, sometimes even gets up to the first floor, usually does damage to the county route that is there, sometimes State Route 52 as well. So this has been worked on for a long time to figure out how do we actually reroute water, because as you know, water sort of likes to go where it wants to go. But we have spent a lot of time and money on engineering this, and while it is not a cure-all, there could still be flooding after this project, it's going to greatly, or at least the hope and the intent is, to greatly reduce the chances of that flooding during the kind of rain events we're having more and more of.
And man, when it rains and a heavy rain, that part of Kohlertown and Jeff really, really floods. For those of you who may not be familiar with what we're talking about, it's the intersection of Route 52 and 164. That's where Sal's Pizza is, right there on the corner, and just up the way the laundromat and car wash there. They've been working on it for some time. This is going to be the more extensive work that's done for 5 weeks starting August 7th. The road will be closed. The detour route is a Miller Road off of 164 and then down to 52.
Right. Depends on which way you're coming.
Right.
If you're coming from your home.
Well, I'm coming from my home. Well, let's talk about my route.
Yes. You would hag a ride onto Miller Road. That would put you down near, I think it's called the Old Foundation. I remember it as the Stone Arch Inn.
Right, right.
On 52. And then you take 52 up to Kohlertown. And it's in the reverse if you're coming the opposite direction. It's a well-used road. Yeah. People think, oh, county route. Okay. It's not as big as a state route.
No, that
road goes up to Villa Roma. It goes into the beech woods.
Gets you over to Calicoon. That's how you get across.
Yep. When I worked in Calicoon, that was the quickest way to Jeffersonville and Liberty. So it's a 3-mile detour. It's going to take a little extra time. People need to figure that into their schedule. We, of course, will try to get this work done faster than 5 weeks so that we can open the road again as soon as possible. We don't like to inconvenience people, but I think people will be grateful when this is finished that the flood potential, even as just a traveler who would have had to detour during any kind of heavy rain because the road would flood, you'll appreciate not having to do that. At least as much anymore.
I will keep that in mind as I get up even earlier to get to work. No, thank you. I'm glad that work's getting done. Also, we want to talk about, is it Bow Wow NW?
Or
is
you got it,
did I get it right?
I had to learn how to say that too.
I was like, is it Bow ONW or Bow Wow NW? It's Bow Wow NW.
Yeah, this is the thing about putting out press releases. I don't have to worry about pronouncing it, just spelling it. But when I get on the radio, it becomes an issue. Yeah, it's Bow Wow NW. Because the way it looks, you're almost like, well, how do we do that? Bow Wow NW? But yeah, it's Bow Wow NW. This combines some of my favorite things, railroads and dogs.
So, a lot of people's favorite things.
I think so, too. Yeah. Yes. It's actually really a rail trail that we're talking about. It'll be in Liberty on Thursday, August 10th from 5:30 to 7:30. And I know a lot of people actually who didn't even realize that Liberty has a wonderful ONW-based rail trail on it, very flat, very accessible, not far from the downtown area. And as with all our trails, dogs are welcome, as long as they're kept on a leash and that they're reasonably friendly. It's just a wonderful, very peaceful location in sort of the heart of one of our more, I don't know if this is a correct term, urban areas, because around here I don't think we really have any, but as urban as it gets in Sullivan County. Mm-hmm. And yet you're walking along this tree-lined, grassy strip of land that takes you along where there used to be a very major station on the New York, Ontario, and Western Railway, unfortunately burned down many years ago. I have a painting of it, though, in my office, if you ever want to see it. It was a beautiful round-domed station that served Liberty, because Liberty was a major stop on the line. And there were some old trestles in the area as well. You won't see that. This will just be a very easy walk of a trail, but you'll get to meet your neighbors and friends and fellow dog lovers. And it's a way to promote our growing rail trail system and also health and wellness. Get people outdoors, enjoy themselves.
Exactly. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dan Hoost. He is the communications director for Sullivan County Government. Joins us every Friday with an update on what's going on. And one of the updates is you wanted to let folks know how they can listen and to attend legislature meetings.
Yes. Sometimes I wonder if people even realize that you don't have to be in person at legislature meetings to be able to see what legislators are doing. And I encourage everybody, if you live in Sullivan County, whether you're full-time, second home, or even just a visitor who returns again and again, these meetings are for you. They show you what your elected officials are doing. Every Thursday, the first three Thursdays of the month, typically, the legislature meets. The first two Thursdays in committee, and then the third Thursday, they have the executive committee, which is all the legislators, and then the full board meeting where everything that was discussed in committee gets voted on. And obviously, you can come to the government center during the times of those meetings. They're usually in the mornings and watch in person. But most people don't have the time to do that or aren't necessarily interested in being caught in the room if they want to take a phone call or do something else with their lives. So we make it very easy. You can go online to sullivanny.us and watch the meetings there. And you do not have to watch them live. We archive them. We do show them live. It was about a 5 to 10 second delay, but basically live. And then we archived them on there in perpetuity. You could go back several years now since we've been filming these and watch those meetings. I'm not exactly sure why you might want to do that, but it's a historical record.
Maybe there. You've been binge watched everything on Netflix.
Right. Boy, if that's the case, I want to get to know you, hear what I'm missing on Netflix. So anyway, the meetings are there, and you can, of course, fast forward and rewind, and you can even key in on, you can click on a certain part of the agenda that is connected to that discussion so that you can go right to what you want to hear about and skip over what you're not interested in. We make it very easy. There is a video I have up on our social media channels showing you how to do that, but in a nutshell, sullivanny.us, there's on the homepage right at the bottom, there is a list of upcoming meetings, and you can click on all meetings. It'll take you right there to a tab that says video. You can click on the video for any meeting that you're looking for. It will start to play it. And like I said, you can then choose what part of the video you want to watch, or the whole thing if, as you said, you've binge watched everything on Netflix already.
And if you're listening to us and you're not in Sullivan County, check your local government county website. See if they stream or archive. If they don't, they probably should. You might want to let them know.
I think as part of an active, involved citizenry, we owe it just to ourselves to watch at least some of these and see what's going on, especially since later this year, you'll be voting on these legislators and those who are running against them for that office. All 9 legislator positions are up for election this November. And an informed voter is a powerful voter.
Exactly. Also, you another social media platform you're on now. You've joined Threads. You've joined
And I see JFF has as well.
We did too.
Right?
We did too this week. Yes. Maybe it was because they killed the bird at the other one. But yes, we're on Threads.
Well, after I read that 100 million people had already joined, I was like, well, I guess it's time for us to be at the forefront of this rather than following up a year or two later and say, what's all the fuss about? So yes, we are on Threads, which I call Facebook or Meta's version of Twitter. We are still, of course, on Twitter or whatever Elon Musk is going to be calling it in the next few days. That we still have a strong audience with, but we already have about 200 followers on Threads. And I expect that to grow because it does seem to be very popular. And just like with our Facebook and Instagram accounts, since this is Meta, it's threads.net/SullivanCountyGov, Instagram.com/SullivanCountyGov, Facebook.com/SullivanCountyGov. And with Threads, since you really have to use the app, just look up Sullivan County Gov, G-O-V, or Sullivan County Government, and you'll find us.
And the other thing you told me you wanted to mention is something that we already have been working on. Museums Weekend is coming up. It's this weekend in Sullivan County. Our own Barbara Demarest spoke to Donna Steffens at the Time and Valleys Museum, who's helping organize this weekend's event. Let's hear their conversation.
There are right now 10 museums all in Sullivan County that are participating. They're all very varied. There's something for everyone. If you're interested in the D&H Canal, if you're interested in fly fishing, there's a museum on fly fishing, the Catskill Fly Fishing Center in Roscoe. There's the Frederick Cook Society, which is in the Sullivan County Historical Society, and that's on polar exploration. And there's a Boy Scout Museum out in Narrowsburg. So there's a lot to see and a lot to do.
That's really a very varied list. Who knew there were so many museums in Sullivan County?
Exactly. That's what I said when we pulled this together. We said, wow, there is something for everyone here. And a lot of them are interactive. A lot of them have great things to see. And what's really good about this is that most offer free admission. So you can just come in, see what they have to offer, and then you can also go to another museum the next day if you want to. Again, all for free admission. And a lot of this is because we want Sullivan County residents to know about all the wonderful things that's right in their county. They don't have to leave. They can see all these great things here. A number of these museums are also doing tours. They're doing free gifts, like for the Time in the Valleys Museum, we're offering free keychains. We're also offering discounts on membership. And so whatever museum you go to, there'll be a flyer there that has all of the museums that are participating that are listed, as well as the hours that they're open. So they can pick up the flyer and then visit another museum.
I would imagine that not all these museums are open every weekend.
You're right. Not all of them are, but they're all definitely open this weekend for this event. So it really does give people a chance to see museums or places that aren't always open.
And this is a time of year when a lot of people have visitors, grandchildren, you know, you name it, up visiting and perhaps looking for something to do outside of outdoor recreation or in addition to.
Yes, and you know what, even like the Catskill Fly Fishing Museum has an outdoor section. Our museum, Time in the Valleys Museum, we have a whole 1930s farm, which is outdoors, so they can do an indoor-outdoor experience. And honestly, if it's really, really hot, it's nice to be indoors where there's air conditioning.
And Fort Delaware, of course, is a lot of that is outdoors as well.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
So what are the hours that most of the museums are open? I understand it varies from among them, but what time frame on Saturday, the 29th, and Sunday, the 30th, are most of them open?
I would say you would be very safe anywhere between noon and 4. A number of the museums, like the Basket Historical Society, which is in Long Eddy, they open at noon. The D&H Canal Interpretive Center in Summitville opens at 10. The Frederick Cook Society opens at 10. Fort Delaware opens at 10. Catskill Fly Fishing opens at 10. So, I mean, it's really anywhere between 10 and 4 or 10 or 5, something like that. So it's a good amount of time. You can hit at least one, possibly two, and if you can't in one day, then just go the next day because the hours are the same.
And where is there information about all the museums that are participating?
Well, you can go to our museum website, timeinthevalleysmuseum.org. That will have the information there. And I also believe on the Sullivan County Visitor Association website has it as well, and most of the museums that are participating do.
Are you having any special programming over the course of the weekend, or do you know any of the other museums that might be?
I believe that Fort Delaware is. I don't know what they're doing, but I know they have some special event going on. And the other museums, I think they're just sort of deciding on their own what they want to do and have open.
Many of these museums are volunteer-run, right?
Oh, absolutely. The Basket Historical Society is. The Old Stone House in Hasbrook is also going to be open, and that's rarely open. And I believe that's all volunteer-run as well.
What is that museum all about?
Well, it really is an old stone house that was built in the 1700s, and they're going to have some displays and some information there about it. But it's very rarely open.
What do you think is the jewel of the Time in the Valleys Museum?
Oh, that's hard to say. We just opened up a new exhibit, which is really neat. It's an augmented reality exhibit done in conjunction with the digital computer students at SUNY Sullivan, where we have paintings of many of the buildings that were taken for loss for the towns that were removed for New York City's water system. And if you use your phone and hold it up to a painting, you see different kind of effects, some sound, all sorts of interesting things. So that's been attracting a lot of attention because, you get to see the beautiful paintings as well as get that overlay of augmented reality, which is really interesting.
And that was Donna Steffens of the Time and Valleys Museum. Spoke to our own Barb Demarest about the Sullivan County Museums Weekend. That it sounds like it's a great event this weekend at all the museums with Dan Hoost is here from Sullivan County Government, who is making sure we all know about it, too.
Yes, we'll be participating. Three of our properties will be involved. The D&H Canal Interpretive Center in Summitville, Fort Delaware, Museum of Colonial History in Narrowsburg, and of course our county museum in Hurleyville. In fact, on Sunday, the 30th, at 2 o'clock, there'll be a free concert at the county museum. And at 3 o'clock, there'll be a wonderful presentation on the Delaware and Hudson Canal at our D&H Canal Interpretive Center. It's amazing to me how many people from Sullivan County, including longtime locals, haven't been to these locations. You really need to see it. Yeah, Stone Arch Bridge, it's one of our parks. That's beautiful. That's wonderful to just walk and see the history. Fort Delaware, most of the folks that I know in their childhood or as parents took their kids there. That's wonderful, too. But then the county museum, I discovered that after 20-some years of living in Sullivan County, had no idea that they had two full floors of the most fascinating exhibits that you can think of, all locally involved. Then the D&H Canal Interpretive Center. I only discovered that about 10 years ago. It's a little bit off the beaten path down in Summitville. But that, too, has information you won't find anywhere else. And you can walk along and see the old locks of the canal. And our public works folks have built beautiful bridges that span the canal with these outdoor informational kiosks. It's a wonderful place to walk. This is the weekend to do it. Go see it, especially on Sunday when I hear the weather is supposed to be gorgeous.
Yeah, tomorrow maybe a little rain. And there's a heat advisory in effect today. You can find out about those cooling centers in the county. You can find out about the museum weekend, that road closure, and more on SullivanNY.us, the Sullivan County Government website. Communications Director Dan Hoos joining us. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you too.
Oh, wait. Before we go, have you seen Barbie?
Oh, no, I plan to.
Okay.
I'm going to go with my sister, who was like the biggest Barbie fan I ever knew. So, and I admit I played with them too.
A little bit later, we're going to hear from Christy Smith at the Calkin Theater, who is showing Barbie right now, about the Barbie phenomenon and the Barbenheimer phenomenon. But first, we're going to talk to the folks who are behind the Repair Cafe in Livingston Manor tomorrow. We'll learn more about it in just a minute after a short break. This is Radio Chatskill.
I'm Cassie of Rare Pair Radio. It's a weekly showcase of primarily female artists, but also a wide range of avant-garde musicians, the fruit of post-punk, experimental, and fringe music.
Your eyes are set on stars. I love to see you shine because you really blow my mind.
Rare Pair Radio, Friday at 8 p.m.
Your heart beats like a drum.
The demonization of fact-based journalism is one of democracy's biggest threats, as the number of local newsrooms has dwindled, leaving disinformation to fill the void. This station is an oasis amid all the noise and fiction by building bridges and holding people to account. We do it thanks to you. You give us the tools we need to fight attacks on truth by donating to this station. Here's how.
Give what you can at wjffradio.org.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and it is our summer fun drive. We have a challenge from Janice in Bethel, a $250 challenge that we need to meet this hour. So now we only have, under half an hour to go. Call 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. Help us meet this matching challenge, generous challenge from Janice in Bethel. And the Livingston Manor Repair Cafe is tomorrow. It's the first Repair Cafe in Livingston Manor. It's at the Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum on Old Route 17 in the Manor. It's a joint venture between the Livingston Manor Free Library and Roscoe Free Library, and also with advice from the Repair Cafe Hudson Valley, a program of the Sustainable Hudson Valley. Susie Fromer from that organization is on the phone with us, and in person here in Liberty is Peggy McGuire from the library. How are you guys?
I'm great. Good.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in. Peggy, this is the first Repair Cafe in Livingston Manor. We've heard about repair cafes in the area. Right. What took so long?
Well, that's a good question. As Susie will tell us more about, there are so many Hudson Valley repair cafes currently, and it's just taken a while to get them going in Sullivan County. So we're the fourth. And
that's right.
Yeah, so hopefully this won't be the first time. Won't be the only time. It won't make it matter. We hope to make it a regular event.
And Susie, as Peggy alluded to, there are so many of them in the Hudson Valley. It really is a movement, right?
Yeah, it really is. It started here in New Paltz in 2013. And John Wackman was the founder of our group, Repair Cafe Hudson Valley, and his enthusiasm and just his passion for this just was sticky, as they say, and everyone wanted to have a cafe. And so it really spread from New Paltz throughout. It's about 10 counties now. We have a lot in the capital region as well. There are four, as she said, in Sullivan. There's actually another one this weekend in Sullivan County. This is the only two cafes in our network this weekend. It's at Hurleyville at Catskill Mountain Keeper, 1 to 4 also. And the Livingston Manor one is at the Fly Fishing Museum, 1 to 4. So Sullivan has an embarrassment of riches this weekend.
Wow, that's great, especially for folks who may be – there's a lot going on this weekend all around. So you can fit that in on either day. Susie, you know, I've had a conversation with folks about repair cafes in the past, and, mm-hmm. and it did result out of this idea of the right to repair. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, right to repair, it sort of works in tandem with the repair cafe movement. The right to repair movement is about, it started with John Deere tractors, actually, and farmers were having trouble repairing them. They were, all of a sudden, they were computerized and they weren't able to repair them, which meant costly replacements, basically. And it was just a computer issue. And so the right to repair, it really refers to a lot of computer and technical things, iPhones, computers, because they can just sort of force you to buy a new one. And the concept is that we have the ability, often, if we just can get the guidebooks or the pieces that they hold, we can repair them. And that keeps things out of the landfill. But of course, it keeps us from buying new ones. And so we get a little bit of that, that blowback. And so we're fighting very hard for the right to repair. And we're also fighting very hard to help people repair things and teach them the skills and the confidence and the know-how to repair things on their own.
Yeah, I think that goes that blocks some people from wanting to fix something. They think, oh, I won't know how to do it. I'll just buy something new. But then also, when you learn how to repair something, you are becoming more sustainable and keeping these things going versus contributing to landfills or what, as you mentioned. Yeah. Peggy, let's talk about the repair cafe in Livingston Manor this weekend. What kinds of items will you be able to repair? What kinds of experts will be there to help?
Well, thankfully, we have a really wonderful and diverse group of volunteers on Saturday. We're looking at people who can repair electric appliances, wooden items, other kinds of manual operating devices, and fly fishing rods. Of course, we're at the Fly Fishing Center,
unique to Livingston Manor, which is awesome.
There you go. Yeah. We have somebody who will provide advice on clock repair, not actually do it there, but advise people on what needs to be done or what parts are needed. And then we have people who are sewing, and we'll have somebody with a heavy-duty sewing machine so that something like canvas or something with multiple layers of denim, like if to have your jeans hemmed, that's easily done on this specialized machine. And hand sewing as well. You know, it's very simple to sew on a button for some people, but not for others. So if it's something like that,
guilty.
Tim is waving.
Waving my hand. Okay.
Okay. So bring your buttonless items in.
What are there certain things that you would say, hey, we're not equipped to do this, so please try not to bring this type of item? Are there some things on that list that we should let people know about?
I usually say if it can't fit through the door, don't bring it.
Yeah,
leave your boat at home.
Leave your boat at home, yeah. But also, I didn't mention, I don't think I said wooden items. Like I've seen at repair cafes, I've seen picture frames and other things, like some small pieces of furniture, chairs, definitely. And then toys. We often have gotten toys before. I was involved with a repair cafe in Mamikating for years. And so I'm referencing back to what we saw there. And back to electrical items, a lot of lamps. We always, I don't know why it is, but people always seem to have a lamp around that needs repair. So we're ready for that tomorrow.
This is the time for folks to take in those items that they've said, oh, I'll get to that, or, oh, yeah, I'll get that rewired. If it's been sitting around for a little while, maybe not, and there are people here at the Livingston Manor Library who can help you, or sorry, at the Catskill Fly Fishing Center Museum that can help you tomorrow. It's at 1031 Old Route 17 in Livingston Manor. And then, Susie, can you tell us again where the one is in Hurleyville on Sunday?
Sure. It's at Catskill Mountain Keeper headquarters, which I believe is 220 Main Street in Hurleyville.
Yep.
And they do a lot of computer sort of stuff, too. The person who organizes and runs that one is really techie. So I know he's quite skilled with that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah. So check each of these repair cafes. And Susie, if folks want more information about Repair Cafe Hudson Valley and Sustainable Hudson Valley, where could they go?
Yeah, so the Repair Cafe website is www.repaircafehv.org, and that has a calendar of events, and also you can look it up by region, by county or by a map, because there are such, it's such a broad area, and there is a cafe almost every weekend. And, you know, so it might be far, because you guys are sort of the far reaches of that side of the network, but if you're willing to travel around, there is a lot going on. And sometimes we'll have people go to one cafe, get some advice, go buy a part, and then return to another one in a week or two. You know, it's really an ongoing process.
Cafe groupies. And Peggy, remind folks where they can get more information about the library.
LivingstonManorLibrary.org. We have a lot of things going on. And I do want to add, just to kind of segue off of the your former speaker, Dan Hoos, was talking about Museum Weekend in Sullivan County. So we're going to be at the Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum. So while you're at the Repair Cafe, you actually this weekend have access for free to the museum. Otherwise, there would be a fee, unless you have a library card in Livingston Manor, which case you can stop by the library anytime for a pass, a free pass to that museum and several other museums as well.
Two for one. That's great.
This weekend, two for one for anybody.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Susie Frommer, Repair Cafe Hudson Valley, which is a program of Sustainable Hudson Valley, and Peggy McGuire from the Livingston Manor Free Library. Thank you guys so much for joining us and telling us about Repair Cafe.
Thanks so much,
Thanks
Tim. Thanks,
me.
Susie.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, are you a Barbie girl? A lot of people are. This is Radio Chatskill.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we gave the Southwest some advice in dealing with the record heat.
Maybe, Phoenix, you should not have named your city after a bird most famous for bursting into flames.
I'm Karen Chi, in for Peter Sagal. Join us for more chit-chat about the weather with our guest, actor-director Randall Park, on this week's news quiz from NPR. Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill, keeping you connected with the local edition. Weeknights at 6, right after All Things Considered. The local edition on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. It's our summertime and the Giving is Easy Fun Drive. We have a $250 challenge out from Janice in Bethel. I need to hear from you. 845-482-4141. Or go to WJFFradio.org. Help us match this challenge and keep the momentum going during our fun drive. It ends tomorrow at noon, and we need to make our goal. We're only at 64% of that goal, so we do need your help. Call 845-482-4141. The summer's highest selling movie is shaping up to be pink, plastic, and fantastic. It's Barbie. The comedy, directed by Greta Gerwig and starring Margot Robbie, has fetched $237 million domestically in its first 6 days and is on track to cross the $300 million mark this weekend. That's according to the data aggregator Comscore. And get this, Barbie, combined with Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, a three-hour portrait of the man who built the atomic bomb, collected $235.5 million just last weekend alone, representing the fourth highest box office opening in history, not accounting for inflation. So why are fans flocking to theaters for this Barbenheimer double feature and Barbie? For local reaction, we spoke to Chrissy Smith, the proprietor of the Calicoon Theater, where Barbie is currently on the main screen.
For those who don't know, Barbie, the movie, the new movie, and the movie Oppenheimer both came out on the 21st. So they had the same opening day, and it became, again, for those who don't know, it became this sort of movie phenomenon known as Barbenheimer, where a lot of people sort of made the announcement on social media, et cetera, saying that they wanted to see them both in one weekend. And of course, as a single screen movie theater, we can't offer that. We don't have two screens, so we can only have one movie at a time.
And the one movie I had was Barbie.
I opted to get Barbie first, and Oppenheimer will be here on the 4th of August.
So locally, is Barbie doing as well as it's doing internationally?
So, yes. I've been seeing some stats about Barbie that it's, it's the biggest movie opening of a film directed by a woman, et cetera, et cetera. And for us, it has been the single biggest weekend that I have ever had at Calicoon Theater. And according to some of our staff who've been around a long time and have been working at Jesse Ballou, who's been working at the movie theater for a really long time, he says it's bigger than Titanic, or at least what he remembers Titanic to be. We had 270 people at one of the screenings. We had 260 at another screening. I mean, we're averaging close to 200 people at every single screening at this point. And we are burning through all those concessions. We're burning through all the popcorn and the chocolate, all the beer and wine. We have a beer and wine license now, too. So we've been selling pink rosé, which has been super fun. And we have these Malibu gummy bears. And Friday and Thursday night, we also had some fun live events. There was Barbie trivia and a costume contest. So we've been having a really, really good time with this. And it's a fabulous movie. Everybody should see it.
What is it about this movie in particular, do you think, that's causing such a reaction, a phenomenon?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it's got a lot of built-in sort of love for the, you know, the IP. You know, everybody has a relationship to the Mattel doll. Whether you love Barbie or you hate Barbie, this movie is actually for you. Because it sort of takes both sides of those arguments. It's also a very, it's a very feminist film. It grapples with things like the patriarchy and gender equality while still being really hilarious and having so many great, you know, musical numbers and throwbacks to, you know, classic cinema like An American in Paris and Wizard of Oz. There's a lot of stuff that they did on sound stages and whatnot. So it really has this like classic Hollywood feel at times, which is really fun. But I just think that all around it's fresh. And I think people are a little bit tired of the, you know, the sort of endless franchises that they're constantly getting. Yeah, it's like nice to have like something new and something kind of shiny and like, exciting.
Like superhero sequel 5.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a market for that and there are audiences for that. But, you know, I think people are just excited that this is a whole brand new thing.
Have you been seeing a crowd that's sort of diverse?
Yeah, it's definitely diverse. I mean, it's been a lot of women for sure. And we've had, you know, we've had buses of women coming from as far away as Neversink, Honesdale, Livingston Manor. I mean, just a bus will pull up and 25 gals all dressed in hot pink will come out. And, you know, they've been waiting for this and they've put together a whole group of people to do this. So, you know, we've had a lot of that sort of like Barbie party fervor that's been happening. But yeah, I will say you know, it's definitely skewing 2/3 towards, you know, a female audience. But that being said, it's also, you know, we've had over 1,000 people, I think, in the last couple of days. And so there's a lot of new faces, but we're trying to make sure that they come back and visit us again.
As you mentioned, you only have one screen. You can't have both at the same time, but you do have Oppenheimer coming next.
Yes. So we've got Barbie for one more weekend. That's this weekend. So Friday night, 7:30. Double shows on Saturday and Sunday. That's 2 p.m. and 7:30 on Saturday and Sunday. And then Cheap Night, Monday night, is 7:30 p.m. Tickets are all $9 on Monday. And then after that, we switch over to Oppenheimer, which is going to open on Friday, August 4th at 7:30. And that should be a lot of fun, too. That's a very serious film. It's directed by Christopher Nolan. It's 3 hours long, but it's getting rave reviews as well. And it has this, you know, all-star cast. So I think that's going to be pretty phenomenal as well. But I don't expect it to kick the way that Barbie did. I mean, this has just been like, you know, especially after the couple of years that we've had, this just feels like winning the lottery finally. You know, we've just been waiting for people to be this excited about going back to the movies. And I hope that we are consistently, you know, giving people what they want when they go to the movies, too, which is a small town experience. The staff, you know you, we make your concessions just right, and we give you that sort of nostalgic experience start to finish, and hopefully we're delivering on that.
Despite the SAG-AFTRA strike that's going on, is there anything on the pipeline that's coming out that you think could get to this level, or something original at least that's coming out before the end of the year?
Honestly, probably not. I mean, I think this is kind of like a once in a decade fervor. I mean, there's some exciting stuff coming up this fall that hasn't been affected by the strike in any way. I mean, the pipeline is such that things that stop production now due to the strike won't really affect the movie theater until next summer. But we've got there's another Dune movie coming out this November, I think it's coming out. And there's always great stuff coming out during the holidays. There's a new Scorsese film. So we've got some exciting stuff on the horizon, but I don't think anything's going to be this, you know, this Barbenheimer phenomenon for a long time. I mean, we're talking this is Star Wars. This is Titanic proportion stuff. It's great.
That's Chrissy Smith of the Calicoon Theater. We should note that the Calicoon Theater is a financial supporter of Radio Catskill. You can be a financial supporter by supporting us now during our summer fun drive, 845-482-4141. We have some special guests in the studio. The weekend of chamber music is wrapping up this weekend, and here to tell us more is our own classical sport correspondent Kit with composer in residence John Harbison and co-artistic director Andy Wagner. I just learned that both you, Andy, and John know the person who issued our challenge today, Janice.
We know her well. I know Janice as a friend and colleague here in Sullivan County and as a member of the WCM board.
Oh, wow.
And a wonderful mezzo.
And a great supporter of our public radio station with this $250 challenge. Andy, you said you wanted to kind of wind up those radio chops of yours and give a pitch.
I want to do a pitch because for years, back in the mid-80s, I worked in public radio. It's how I got through grad school. I wrote my dissertation doing my all-night show, and so I'd put on The Ring, and then I'd go and write a couple chapters and then come back and, you know, do the show. And we did a lot of fun drives, and I always enjoyed fun drives because I feel like fun drives really get at what's unique about public radio. The fact that public radio is uniquely American in a wonderful way, because it's a response to the fact that we're on our own here. We're not the beneficiaries of a state-subsidized broadcasting system. And so if we want something like public radio, we have to pony up. And we have to make certain that we keep it. And it's always under threat. It's been under threat for as long as I can remember. And what keeps it going is listeners who become members. And I think everybody in this region should recognize how incredibly lucky they are to have WJFF, because this station is just within the jewel that is public radio. This is a particularly, you know, wonderful facet. There are very few stations like this left, stations where people who have a music festival can come on and talk about the music not once but four times over a two-week period. A station where the programming is local, it's centered on the region, on the community, on the concerns of the community. It's not just 1A and, you know, the world and ATC being pumped in on a daily basis. Those are all wonderful shows. I listen to them every day, but they come from, you know, elsewhere. And WJFF is truly a station that's rooted right here. And you have to support it or it'll go away. It's just that simple. And so you need to call. You need to go online. You need to pledge right now. And you need to make this challenge that Janice has set up. I can't believe it's Janice. It's a wonderful thing you're doing. But that's not surprising because that's how Janice is.
She's a great supporter and a wonderful person. And call 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org to help us match the $250 challenge from Janice. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your honest words. It's true. If we don't get support, it could go away. So please donate now. Kit, I'm going to hand it over to you so we can talk about Weekend of Chamber Music.
So we are kind of in the home stretch now, and as Tim said, John Harbison is here in the studio, which is thrilling for me. He's heading next to Tanglewood, and he's, you know, world-renowned. I think I read that you've composed over 300 concert works, and that doesn't count your jazz, which I think it should, because I don't believe in those kinds of boundaries. Tell us what brings you back to Weekend of Chamber Music and what you have in store for us.
Well, I was here 10 years ago, as a occasional presenter myself of festivals of concert music, I was struck by the community energy behind this venture that Andy Wagner has here, and just the sheer vigor of interest, and having done a similar somewhat a similar festival out in Token Creek, Wisconsin, which is near us, a fairly large city, Madison, but is actually located in a town of about 400. I think this is really a kind of grassroots part of what we do, and I think at Token Creek we were always most pleased when we were reaching and supported by the community, by the people who lived nearby, and in a sense we were hosting those concerts in our own home, but a closeness to the audience and the sense that the audience is engaged is probably the most satisfying thing to the people that make their fortunes, I guess you'd say, their shaky fortunes as practicing musicians.
Well, that intimacy of the concerts is definitely one of the things that makes it really special, especially that, you know, we're having them in these spaces that are not necessarily where you think you're going to go to a concert, but also the fact that it's chamber music, which has its own intimacy to it. And last night over at Catskill Art Space, you know, we heard some solo works of yours, which was wonderful. You're going to be presenting a quartet this weekend. And so I'm wondering if you could just tell us a bit about that quartet.
Well, I decided somewhat arbitrarily quite a few years ago that I wanted to write six quartets. I don't know how I came to that idea, and six symphonies. And then no matter what was going on, I would stop in those particular areas of interest. And that influenced something about the quartet, just to try a few things that I hadn't done before. And I'll just mention a couple things that listeners will probably notice. The beginning of the piece, not everybody's on stage. The quartet is missing one member who is heard, but only really joins the piece at the beginning of the second movement. And so the first movement is in some sense introductory and like a kind of in a way of assembling the piece. My interest was in proceeding what I thought was very conventionally and formally, because it's something that in my other quartets I had not done so much. I wanted to write a slow movement which really had one tune which was reiterated and reconsidered and so forth. Almost like the way I take in a Tchaikovsky's Law movement, where you hear the tune, and then you hear the tune. then I wanted a piece, a third movement, which really sounded like, to me, an archetypal third movement. That is something very sectionalized and presented is in a kind of a decorous and organized way, sort of like the minuet and scherzo, or the trio, scherzo and trio, of the chamber music form. The finale, I had the idea of embedding sort of two forms, a kind of chamber concerto and a chamber music piece. So it features the first violinist as a sort of soloist. I also like the idea, since composers for years have been trying to balance responsibilities within the quartet. Great achievement was supposed to be that after Mozart and Haydn and so forth, where the first violinist was a first among equals, that the quartet was democratized. I decided in the last moment of my quartet to undemocratize this quartet and simply let the first violinist do everything that's important in the last moment. Interesting way to conclude the piece, but by saying we're going back to an archetype which composers long ago decided was done with.
Oh, that sounds great, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's always helpful to hear and to read Andy's. I was almost said liner notes, your program notes.
That's how I think of them too. Actually, yeah.
It just kind of enriches the experience. Andy, could you tell us how people can hear that?
They can come to Lulu's Social Club. which is the beautiful community space above the Jeffersonville Bake Shop that Lauren Cycli and her partners have really sort of caused to appear in Jeffersonville like an apparition over the last few years. It's really right. transformed the main street. So we're upstairs at Lulu's tonight at 7 for an open rehearsal. You can come and hear the group rehearsing and interacting with John. And then tomorrow night at 8 is the actual concert, also at Lulu's in Jeffersonville. And there's a pre-concert chat at 7.
And birthday cake after the...
Anniversary birthday cake and champagne. It is Weekend of Chamber Music's 30th anniversary.
30th anniversary, wrapping up this weekend. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, John. Thank you, Kit. Thanks for coming in. Have a great 30th anniversary final weekend here.
Thank you.
And thanks to you who have called in and donated. It looks like we have a couple of donations from Anonymous, meaning we only have $150 to go on the $250 challenge. From Janice, so thank you so much. There's still time to donate, 845-482-4141. That's all for this edition. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. WJFF Jeffersonville. W233AH Monticello.